morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to our worship service. Excited for our time together at Flat Springs Baptist. Always love gathering together on Sunday morning to begin the week right with worship. And if you are a guest with us, we welcome you. And we're excited that you are here. And we would love to have a record of you being with us. And the way we do that here is we have guest cards that are located right in front of you. If you could fill one of those out, put it in the offering plate, we'll have that information. And we would love to provide you with some additional information as well. As always, we do have just a few announcements to make sure we're aware of a couple items before we begin our worship service. I've been told that yesterday the Baptist men's golf tournament went really well. A wonderful time of fellowship and outreach especially. And that was just a great day overall for that the group that was able to attend yesterday. We do have a few things coming up. Trunk or Treat is in 1 week. Everybody who was in Sunday school this morning heard from a couple individuals. Haley and Rebecca went around to make sure everybody was well informed, any questions, and make sure we all know that it is open to the entire church to come and eat a full meal we'll have at 6 o'clock, and then it'll be time to go out and enjoy the children being able to pick up treats from all the different trunks that are decorated for a time of fellowship and outreach as well. And also in the bulletin, you'll see that candy donations will be welcomed, even though those who are going to be decorating a trunk are asked to bring some candy as well. Continue to pray for the Kentucky mission trip. That's just in a week and a half. Very excited about that opportunity. That group has grown. So there is tremendous work to be done, and that will be a fruitful endeavor for everyone attending. And they need our prayers for the time there, the conversations that will be had, the work that will be done. A lot of prayer needs to go into that situation as we continue to minister and work with Crossroads Community Baptist Church. And lastly, in the atrium here, you'll see our hunger banks. Collecting the hunger banks this month. I always go to wonderful ministries, everyone that's able to participate in that. Drop off your full banks and make sure that you pick up a new bank with the instructions provided there so we can keep a record of everything the right way. And that's in the atrium. Were there any other announcements before I got up here that were supposed to be mentioned? Let's bow our heads and begin our worship service with prayer. God, we come before you this morning, humbled that you have called us together yet once again into a time of worship. Lord, we don't take this lightly. We start the week off by worshiping you, so we understand that it's all about you. Everything we do and everything we say, all of our priorities, Lord, are supposed to point to your glory. And God, that's the way it's supposed to be. And God, we're grateful for the time that we'll have here to be able to sing praises to your name, be in your presence, and lifting up your name brings us great joy. And God, as your word invigorates us and challenges us, we're praying that we will remember the word that is spoken to us so we can be prepared for the week that is ahead. God, guide us in all we do and say this week, the conversations we'll have with friends and family and those at work and here at church, God, show us how to live for you in all ways. We pray this in your Son's holy and precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's spend several moments preparing our hearts for worship.
Okay, if you'll stand and join us in singing hymn number 495, Serve the Lord with Gladness.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come today giving thanks for all the many, many blessings you have done for us and given to us. We give thanks today for our teachers, our choir, and our musicians. May our hearts be open to receive thy word through today's message. Please be with those in need, and we ask that you accept and bless these tithes and offerings to be used for thy will and service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
So good to see you sitting down here. My question this morning, hopefully, is an easy one, because you may have already done some of it yesterday on a Saturday. Do any of you have any chores at your house? Think for a minute. Do you have any chores that your parents give you at your house? Something they ask you to do? Anybody tell me a chore you may have? I'm sure you do. I've talked to your parents. I know you have some chores. What's a chore you have? What is it? Clean your room. Absolutely. Have to keep your room clean, right? Not just once in a while. Need to do it probably daily, or weekly maybe, right? What else? What are some chores you have? Can you think of anything else? Do you have to help pick up when you play? Pick up toys? Pick up coloring books? Do you have to help clean up in the kitchen maybe ever? Do you take your dirty plates to the sink? You ever do that before? Yeah, you're shaking your head. So I thought you might have some chores that you do. And when I was growing up, if I did some extra things on top of my chores, I might could earn a little extra money. Sometimes parents will give an allowance if they do children do extra things for chores. And I learned when I was your age, when I was earning money doing extra things, that when I would buy something, I was paying taxes on what I was buying. You're like, why are we talking about taxes? You probably heard your parents talk about or complain about taxes. We all kind of do. That happens. But I learned I was paying taxes on things. And I thought, wouldn't it be really interesting if somebody was to ask Jesus, if children, if you should have to pay taxes on the money you have? You know, if he said yes, you might not be very happy with Jesus. But if he said no, politicians might not be very happy with Jesus, right? Somebody is not going to be very happy with Jesus if he was asked that question. Well, there kind of was a question like that in the Bible I want to read this morning. Matthew 22. There were some religious leaders, they are called Pharisees, and they were asking Jesus about a poll tax, which was not a very popular tax that people like to pay. And they were trying to trick him. And so I want you to listen to what Jesus says and how he answers this question about taxes and money. And then I'll tell you what we're supposed to learn from it. Okay? Matthew 22, starting with verse 15. Remember, he's trying to be tricked and he's going to answer a question. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to Jesus, along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher," they said, "we know that you're a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us, Jesus, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax, that poll tax, to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin using to pay the tax." They brought him a denarius and asked him, "Whose image, whose picture is on there, and whose writing is on there?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then Jesus said to them, "So give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. I brought a dollar this morning. You see at the top here, it says United States of America. That's our government's money. This is their money. It belongs to them. But do you know who you belong to and who we belong to? We belong to God. That's why we learn how to love God and how to love other people, because we want to please God. Yeah, when you get older, you're going to have to pay taxes, right? But we always need to remember that you belong to God. That's why we always need to learn what it means to love Him and love other people. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for teaching us that we belong to you and we want to love you this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay, if you'll stand and sing, we'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses of "It Is Well With My Soul," 410.
Today our focus is on telling the hard truth. When we tell the hard truth, it is well with our soul. But sometimes that's difficult, and David is going to teach us. I guess actually the prophet Nathan is going to teach us, and David is going to be his subject today. Let me ask you, have you ever had to tell someone a hard truth that you knew God was leading you to tell them? Have you ever received a hard truth that you knew someone who told you did that because God was leading them? Listen to a faith story as Tom comes and shares with us telling a hard truth.
Dr. McCullough called Tuesday and asked me to take 2 or 3 minutes and talk about my experience with a hard truth. I expect that I have done as much wrong in my 75 years as the average fellow. I don't believe that I have ever willingly done anything improper but what I didn't regret. And even after I asked for forgiveness, the sense of wrongdoing hung about me like a nasty cloak. As I have grown older, it has come to me that the best thing following a wrongdoing is confront all involved, get it out in the open, apologize and say I was wrong, the hard truth. The first time I ever really remember coming up with a scheme to keep from being punished was when I was probably 6 or 7 years old. That's probably around 1946 or 1947. Raymond, I'm glad you're here today. My cousin Raymond Johnson had a brand new bicycle. I bet you don't even remember any of this. He had a brand new bicycle. And I was envious. And it didn't help matters when he drove up and made some smart remark. He parked that shiny machine and walked into our house. I was in the yard eating a banana. And when he strutted into the house, I smeared banana all over his shiny new bicycle from front to back, including the seat. And after admiring what I had done, I happened to look up, and there on the back porch stood Mother and Raymond. My little mind knew that I could not plead innocent. So this is what I figured I could do to keep from getting a whipping. I walked to the porch, and Mother said, "What are you doing?" And I said something like this, "Mother, I came to get a whipping." Now, what loving mother would lay a hand on a pitiful 7-year-old boy who was throwing himself on the mercy of her court? When I went to the porch, I knew I would receive a hard lesson from a hard truth. I knew I had done something wrong. Perhaps what I did seemed small compared to the wrong doing of David that Dr. McCullough is going to talk about in a little bit. The prophet Nathan told David, "I'm going to bring calamity upon you." And that's the very thing Mama Dixie brought upon me. She wore me out. I had to wash Raymond's bicycle with Raymond and Mother there looking at me. That was a lesson that I have never forgotten. Admit your guilt, even if you don't want to. Take the punishment and learn from it. The hard truth.
Thank you, Tom. Let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns of the day, and there are some that we want to be praying for. Some who are facing hard truths about life, about living in bodies made of clay. And as you see this list and those names, especially so many on our ongoing list of folks that we're praying for, many of them dealing with recuperating from surgeries or dealing with cancer, we certainly want to keep them lifted up. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you continue to impress upon our mind how we've come to the sanctuary today? For maybe we have smeared banana on someone's new bike, and that truth has not yet been expressed. And we come brave enough today to throw ourselves on your mercy seat and ask, O God, that you would forgive us and that we might leave this place different than we came in. And Lord, if even today there might be one of us who feels we have no hard truth to deal with, then Lord, would you speak especially to us and help us to begin to see with your eyes and not our eyes, and hear with your ears, not our ears, and listen intently to what you might say to us. For today, O God, you will give us all an opportunity to leave this place in a different condition than when we entered. This list that is in our bulletin and on our hearts are people that we love and we care for dearly. We are grateful, O God, for your provision. And we are grateful that prayer changes things and your power changes people. And we pray for both to manifest itself in those on this list. Would you continue to guide us and direct us as our choir is going to sing a song and invite us to make our heart your home. And God, maybe today the hard truth that some of us need to really look at is, when's the last time, oh God, you went home with us after worship, and you lived in our heart, and you helped us with every choice and every decision. Would you speak to us, O God? We're going to try our best to listen. In Christ's name we pray.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Let your heart become God's home. We invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. We shared a wonderful time yesterday, some of us on the golf course and a fellowship. We also had an opportunity for us, and as we have our prayer at the end of this, I'd ask you pray. But we had a speaker to come and share, and some of the folks who played with us don't go to our church. They don't go to anybody's church. But they were there, and they were under the power of the gospel yesterday for a little while. We just have to trust God for that. It's wonderful when we can even take a fellowship and use it as an opportunity to plant the seed of God's love in the midst of who we are. And then, in 2 weeks, if I'm looking at the calendar right, that will be November the 2nd, and that's our homecoming. And I, ladies, I want you to be dusting off those recipes right now as we have our who can bake the best and who can cook the most, and as we have a time of fellowship, but also a time to invite. Who do we need to invite to homecoming? An opportunity to invite a neighbor, to invite a friend, to invite a former member, to invite as the Lord leads us, that we might fill the Lord's house up on homecoming Sunday and celebrate together. Before we read chapter 12, I must at least acknowledge chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11 is the worst chapter in the Bible in David, King David's life. It begins off bad. He chose not to go and lead his men as kings did. He found a wandering eye and a lustful heart, and he brought that to fruition in Bathsheba. She became pregnant with his sin. And he tried to cover it up by bringing her husband home from battle, Uriah, thinking that he would be with his wife. But he had taken a Nazarite vow. As long as the men were in battle, he denied himself of all the pleasures, even the pleasure of the marriage bed. And when David realized he had slept on his doorstep and that he had not covered up his sin, David sent back word with Uriah, telling them that when the battle was at its fiercest, for everyone to withdraw and allow the Philistines to kill Uriah. And then David took Bathsheba as his wife and thought all was well. He had smeared banana and thought he got away with it. I wonder today if maybe there's something in our life that's interfering with our home. It's interfering with our witness. It's interfering with our walk with God. And nobody knows it. Nobody was on the porch when we smeared the banana. Our text today is God sent a man. Maybe today God is sending this message to our hearts, into our ears, into our lives, that we might listen and not just hear the story of David and Nathan the prophet, but we might hear our own story and look in our own life through the lens of the Holy Spirit of God. And he who hath an ear, let us hear what the Spirit says. 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you're able, I invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word. We'll read the first 15 verses. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came to him and said, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. And he brought it up, and he grew it up with him and his children. It used to eat the morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. What a pet. It was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Verse 5. Then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Verse 7. Nathan said to David, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the swords of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against you out of your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have utterly scorned the Lord, the child who is born to you shall die." Then Nathan went to his house. Hard words, hard truth. But may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, would you speak to us, maybe even about those little sins that do not come near to what David did. But yet they separate us, and they are just as wrong as the parable and as David. Give us ears to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. One can only imagine in a day of all the news media what it must have been like, or what it might have been like, for a man of such power to do such a dastardly deed. And I'm trusting that none of us have committed treason into some degree by sending one of his own into harm's way. He did that, and conspiracy and murder. And yet each of us today, if we were honest, know we struggle. I remember one of my members in my last church says that, you know, in all the technology, if they ever come up with a machine that when you walk into a room, it just broadcasts all of your thoughts so everybody can read it. I wouldn't go in that room, would you? And yet the Bible tells us that if we are festering in our minds fertile ground for sinful thoughts, then sin is generally right around the corner, isn't it? Has anyone ever told you something and it was a little hard to really comprehend, or maybe just a little spectacular? And after they told you that, and I said, look, I want to tell you this. This happened yesterday. You looked at him and you said, honestly? Well, you didn't call him a liar, did you? But honestly? Or have you ever started a sentence with, well, to tell you the truth? So I guess if you don't use that qualifier every time, anything else you say may not be straightforward. I don't know. It's amazing. And what I've discovered is that there are a lot of half-truths. You know half-truths? NPR put on their website some half-truths. You know that the foot-long Subway sandwich is only 11 inches long? Isn't that sad? You know that peanuts aren't really nuts, and neither are Brazil nuts. They're legumes. Do you know that the American buffalo is not a buffalo? It's a bison. The koala bear is not a bear. The palm trees, not a palm tree. And mountain goats, not a mountain goat. What can you believe anymore? You know what I've discovered is sometimes, though, I might tell myself some half-truths. How about you? Have you ever said, well, I know that wasn't the right thing to do, but that wasn't the right thing to say, but that wasn't the right place for me to be, but today we look at that classic account of King David, the king that was the greatest Israel ever had. The king that was described as a man after God's own heart. And yet his sin, adultery, murder, treason, cover-up, monumental big sins. And then little Nathan. I don't know exactly how God revealed to Nathan. I like what it says in verse 1. And God sent Nathan. I'm wondering if Nathan might have said, God, do you really want me to go? Couldn't you do this another way? Because although the office of the prophet was a high, high office, Nathan knew there could be repercussions, because what he didn't know, he devised this wonderful story. I don't know if God gave it to him or he just came up with it on his own, of how to get David to see what had to be seen. But it was a hard truth, wasn't it? Maybe by now the kingdom had begun to stir. Maybe some others began to wonder, and the word was getting back from the battlegrounds. Wonder why that order. You know that order that when it got so bad and we were all told to back off, everyone except Uriah. Wonder where that came from. Wonder why that was. Wonder what Uriah did. Did you hear that Bathsheba's pregnant? I don't know what kind of talk was going around Jerusalem, but I know Nathan will teach us some truths about telling the truth, especially hard truth. Because my guess is there's someone here today who might need to share a hard truth with another loved one or a friend or a coworker or a classmate. Maybe someone's going down a wrong road and you know they're going down a wrong road. They're making bad choices. You know they're making bad choices and you're struggling with how to tell them. The first truth I want us to be reminded is to make sure we are Lord-led. I like that God sent Nathan. I think too many times I go on my own. Do you ever have what I call a knee-jerk reaction? You know, that machine about showing what all your mind has on it? There's another machine I wish somebody would fix. I wish that there was a machine that when I say a word, that right before it gets to your ears, it could pause long enough for me to think sometimes, you know. I mean, sometimes it's like right there on its way to Brad, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I wished I didn't say that. But it's on its way. It's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. Being Lord-led, it says in, and the Lord sent Nathan to David. The Lord sent him. Where is the Lord sending us? That might be the real question. I think too many times I go on my own. I think we can say that you might say, well, if God doesn't lead you, then just don't say anything. And some of us might say, well, I wouldn't say much then. Good. That's okay. I think sometimes the most godly thing we can do is be quiet. Just be quiet. But maybe we just need to seek God's counsel more. My prayer is, as I've been preparing this sermon and dealing with it in my own life, my prayer has been that maybe the Holy Spirit would be bringing something very specific to our mind, either one or two ways, or maybe both. One way is that I need to share with a brother. I need to share with a sister about a truth in their life. Or secondly, there's some things in my life that I know aren't right. And today I want this message, I pray this message might come to us and say, God's speaking a hard truth to us about some choices or the lack of some choices that we're making. Seek God's counsel more, pray before you speak. We used to say, think before you speak, but maybe it'd be better to say, pray before you speak. During the war, there was a saying, loose lips sink ships. Some of you might be old enough to remember that. I remember reading about that. That was in World War II before me, but it was a time when there was a great anticipation and word was getting out and sometimes missions were being sabotaged. So loose lips sink ships. Well, I understand that speaking without the leadership of God can sink a soul. Words can tear the very fiber and fabric of the fellowship. Our words matter. And no one has that machine that can stop those words right before they get to someone's ears. So I've got to make sure I'm seeking God's counsel before I speak. Because once it's been said, it cannot be unsaid. The more we pray and study God's word and stay connected to God's plan for our life, how many times have we said it? And yet it is true today as the first time we heard it. That's how we make those changes. There is no other way. I like what Terry Farmer said. He was talking last night about God's grace and how God can enter into relationship with her yesterday at the golf tournament and how that relationship can change everything. And he ended it, he said, that's all I've got. And the first thought that came to my mind was, and that's all we need. And that's all we need. All I need to do is make sure that when I see you, If the Lord hadn't led me to say anything, I don't say anything. If the Lord's not impressing on my heart, or if I'm not sure whether it's me or, and I've got to do that because sometimes you say stuff that irritates me. Sometimes I say stuff that irritates you, and that's when I speak too quick. That's when I need to become more disciplined to pray and give myself over to God. Not only was he led by God to go, but he was with one intent. One intent. Listen to Nathan's intent. Nathan didn't go thinking, oh boy, I've got the goods on the king. Oh boy, I'm going to beef up my resume by being a king chastiser. David went with one message, one desire, one hope, and that was to restore the king to being the man after God's own heart. That's what our words are supposed to do. People don't like hard truth. I've discovered that. And I've discovered we don't mind talking about God's truth as long as it doesn't get personal. And I heard a story about that. Seems that there was an American frontier little town, and it was way out west, but they were close to some timber, and they were making a living floating timber down the river. You may have seen pictures where they could get those large numbers of logs and tie them together and float them down the river. And they were building a business, and the little town was booming, and somebody said, well, we need a church. And so they built them a church, and we need a minister. So they called him a minister, and things were going well until one afternoon he happened by, and he saw a practice going on with his people. Some of them apparently were slipping to another little town, and they were pulling the logs that had already been marked by the folks in that town. They were pulling them into their bank at their frontier little town and taking a saw and cutting off the end of the logs and putting their stamp on it. Well, the preacher thought, this is not right. This is not the way it should be. So the next Sunday, he preached a message, "Thou shalt not steal." At the close of the service, folks lined up and said, oh, that's a wonderful message, Pastor. That was mighty fine preaching. We enjoyed that. You told the truth today. Well, that wasn't the response he was expecting after what he had seen the week before. So the next Sunday, he preached on the same text, and his last line was, yes, thou shalt not steal, but thou also shalt not cut off the end of thy neighbor's logs. And they ran him out of town. Because he had quit preaching and gone to meddling, hadn't he? I wonder today if the Holy Spirit might quit preaching. Might quit preaching. Sometimes preaching is just words. But when our hearts open to the Holy Spirit of God, and we allow God's Spirit to pour into our spirit, we become like David and we say, Lord, Nathan has led me to you. And when I see you, I've got one thing to say. I have sinned. I have sinned. I have sinned. Oh, Nathan was a wise man. That was a wise story. He got David where he needed him to be so he could come back to where he needed to be. This is a test. Every word I speak, if I could pray, Lord, is this for the betterment of that person and the advancement of your kingdom? Let me say that again. Lord, is this word for the betterment of that person and the advancement of your kingdom? What a wonderful test before I speak. When we're praying that kind of prayer and seeking God's will, God will lead us to handle every situation. You know, there may be something that's going to arise this week that you can't anticipate. We didn't know Roger last week would be a week in the hospital or a day in the hospital. There may be a situation that's going to arise tomorrow or the next day that you never, it's not on your radar. You don't even know it's coming. But it's coming. And if not next week, the week after, and not then, the week after, and not then, the week after, but it's coming if God tarries. And if I could take this truth of saying right now, I want to prepare myself, I want to prepare my heart, I want to prepare my mind, I want to prepare my words, that when that moment comes, you see, that's what worship today is for, to prepare us for what we can't be prepared for on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday. And then finally this morning, I love what he says in verse 15. Then Nathan went to the house. Nathan came because God led him. He led David to where he needed him to be. He shared with him what God wanted, and then he shut up and he went home. I love it. Isn't that abrupt? Here he is. He's told him this terrible word, and you're thinking, well, now he's going to say, well, let me come pray with you. Let me come sit down. He says, no. Then Nathan went to his house. He got up. He turned around, and he walked out because he had said enough. God, give us the spiritual sensitivity to know when we've said enough. To know when we've said enough. You see, I find the more I talk, the further I get away from that prayer I prayed right before I spoke. And the further I get away from that prayer, the more apt it is for Gary to take over the conversation. I still remember that skit we did 150 years ago. Sidney was sitting on the stool. Oh, that was such a visual image. We need to do that again. Up here, Lord, I want you to sit in this control center, but then all of a sudden somebody comes up and we start pushing Jesus right out of the seat. You can say too much. You see, sometimes God will lead us to say the hard truth, but then God will also lead us to leave it alone. I believe Nathan continued to pray. And we're going to find next week how David will ultimately deal with that when we go to one of the greatest psalms in all the Bible. The key to sharing a hard truth is pray for God to lead you. If God's not leading you, be quiet. Just be quiet. Keep praying for God to lead you, though. And when God does lead you to share that hard truth, pray for God to equip you to share it. And always have this goal in mind. God, you're leading me there, and I'm going to lead them to you. That's my goal. I'm going to lead them to you. Not to me, not to my way of thinking, not to my understanding, not to what I want done. I'm going to lead them to you. And then leave it to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, now a time of choice and decision. I feel your Holy Spirit pounding in my heart right now, and I pray that experience is being experienced in this your congregation, because right now, Lord, we're at a crossroads. We're at a choice. We can leave this place as we came in, or we can leave different. We can come in with things in our life that you're not happy with, and we can leave with those same things. Or we can confess and your Holy Spirit faithful to forgive us and to create newness and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can walk out a different husband, a different wife, a different son, a different daughter, a different neighbor, a different co-worker, a different person. Lord, you brought our sin before our eyes today. Now it's time to decide what we're going to do about it. Would you lead us? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is page 280. Page 280. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some public decision, then we want to encourage you and challenge you, invite you to do that, whatever that might be. But my prayer is that each of us, before we leave the worship center today, we might examine ourselves even as David did in the light of the words of Nathan, and that we might say to God what we need to say to God, that we might leave this place and be able to do as we sang, "It is well with my soul," as we stand together and sing. Again, we're so glad that you're here today. Do remember, we've got a lot coming down. One quick note, if anybody's here and you haven't turned in the background check for those that are working with our children and youth, we're going to try to get that taken care of this week. We would appreciate you getting that to us. We've got most of them in, but we need to get them all and do that at one time. And then also, remember, next Sunday is the time to come and share a meal together. And that's going to be practicing for Sunday week when we come to do homecoming. We're going to have a real big meal together and look forward to a wonderful time. And then before you know it, a time of thanksgiving and a time of giving thanks for the birth of our Lord and Savior as we move into those holy seasons. Thank you for being here. Now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for leading us. May we be those special people who will lead all other people to know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.